Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Capital Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us at WCAM or restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
I'm well. We have an unusual show today because we have a couple of timely events coming up, and we've brought in people from each of these events to talk about them. It's a little more timely and concise, and we're actually trying to get the word out about these two really worthwhile events. One is the Slow Food Central is having a festival coming up. We're actually, they asked us to support them, so we're going to go out there with both our restaurants and be serving some food. One of us, or maybe both of us, will be there to meet you if you feel like going out to the Slow Food Festival here in New Jersey.
Absolutely. That's June 27th and 28th, just like you said.
We'll put it up on the right. And don't believe us. Go check the website. You can find out how to get tickets to that. And then we're also going to go. We're going to go down to Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, which is also open from the public. We're going to broadcast a couple of shows from down there and go to some of the cocktail seminars and all that stuff. And Jim Weaver, the president of Slow Food of Central Jersey, is coming on to talk about his event. And then Ann Tunneman's coming on to talk about Tales of the Cocktail, which is in its seventh year in New Orleans.
And New Jersey's not hot enough in July, so we decided we'd go to New Orleans so we could really, really turn up the volume.
But air conditioning and lots of cocktails. So we're going to come right back and talk with our guests. I hope you stick with us. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTCAM and restaurantguysradio.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Our guest today is Ann Tunneman. Ann is the founder of Tales of the Cocktail, now in its year. It is the preeminent conference of all things cocktailian, and it will be happening in New Orleans this summer.
Ann, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me again.
So this started, when we first started talking to you about Tales of the Cocktail, it wasn't such a huge event. Now it's all the rage all the way around the world.
I know, that's true. It's just amazing to believe that this is our seventh anniversary this summer, and you're so right. Year one, we had 100 people, and you know, last year we had 1,000. So we're really excited that it's just growing and that people have responded. And we finally have you guys coming down to join us.
Yeah.
We thanks to our good friends at Herradura, we will be making it down there this year.
And
we're very excited.
And we'll be doing a few interviews and broadcasting a few shows remotely down from New Orleans.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, it really is. Now,
you're going to see a lot of old friends, and you're also going to meet a lot of new, you know, cocktail people and learn just a lot of interesting things. I mean, we really focus our programming on the craft of the bartender, and the event is also just this global destination. So you will meet mixologists from London, from Japan, from all over.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I was just recently went over to Belfast, was in Ireland visiting some family, and I went up to my favorite cocktail bar in Belfast, which is at the Merchant Hotel. And I was hanging out with the bartenders there actually after work a little bit, as I tend to do. And sure enough, there are three guys coming over from the Merchant Hotel in Belfast going to be at Tales of the Cocktail. I was at Pegu Club the other night talking to Jim Meehan and Audrey Saunders and a bunch of folks from different cocktail bars all around New York. They're all going to be there. So it's really the center of the cocktail world for a week, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. I mean, we always joke around, like, who's bartending during Tales of the Cocktail? Because you're right, you know, all those top bars from all over the world. Again, you mentioned Belfast. I mean, great bar there. Australia, New York, San Francisco. It's just this really great meeting of the minds. And what's fun is, even if you're what I call a cocktail enthusiast, which is you're not a professional, but you just, you know, really enjoy, you know, cocktails and the culture and the history, you still get a tremendous amount from it because it's really for everybody.
Well, and you really do have everybody there. As far as our listeners go, I think it's a unique opportunity to have all those people that we've talked to, whether it's David Wondritz or Dale DeGroff or Tony Avganom or the various other people that we've had talking about cocktails since the show started, are all going to be in one place and giving seminars and discussions and attending some of these events as well. It's just a unique opportunity to have all these cocktail cognoscenti in one place.
It really is. And for some of them, it's even the only time that they see each other all year. I mean, a lot of these guys, as you all the names you mentioned, David Wandrich, Dale DeGroff, Audrey, they're very much in demand in addition to, you know, their own work, say Audrey at her own bar. So between writing books and speaking and lecturing, and again, they don't even get to see each other that often. So for a lot of those people, this is once a year where they get to sit down with Tony Conigliaro from London and bartender from Japan, and then at the same time, a bartender, you know, PDT or Pegu Club or, you know, one of the great destinations that you all have in New York.
And you may not know this, but we cocktail people, we socialize really well.
Yes, I know, you do. And New Orleans is a perfect city for that, so yeah. It all works together. I always say that, and you really hit on something, but I find people in the spirits or hospitality industry are just so generous. They really bring people into the fold, so there's not a proprietary nature. For example, if you were, you know, sitting around talking to Jim Meehan and asking him how he makes his homemade, you know, ginger beer, he will share that with you.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's true. And I'll tell you about the socializing thing. There's an old saying, is early to bed, early to rise, you must not be in New Orleans.
Well, I heard a great quote the other day that says, if you die of natural causes in New Orleans, it's your own fault. And I was like, okay, I have to remember that one. That's it.
Well, why don't we tell our listeners who might want to attend, because it is coming up in July, the dates and how they can get involved and the options that they have for either coming for a few days or coming for the whole conference.
They have both of those options. The event is Wednesday, July 8th through 12th. The entire schedule is at talesofthecocktail.com. And, you know, you can go to one or two events on Thursday and Friday, or you can come for the entire five-day period and sign up for what we call a day pass. You can attend 18 seminars, you can attend special events, and so then you're really there just getting fully immersed. We say it's an intoxicating cultural experience for you. But, you know, again, you can come to one thing or you can come to multiples. So that way it fit your schedule. We do have some people that maybe they can only get off work on Friday, so they'll fly in and be here, you know, Friday to Sunday or Friday to Monday. And they're the people that, you know, make sure they're off for the whole week.
And you definitely recommend that people look at the program and register for whatever seminars they want to go to in advance, because these things can book up, can't they?
They really do. Yeah. And I'm calling them like, you know, last-minute Lally's here, because we start getting all the phone calls about 2 weeks before. But they really do, because we keep the seminars relatively intimate. So you might have, you know, 150 people in a seminar with Audrey or Dale. We don't have 100 people because we want it hands-on. We want it intimate. We want you to have cocktails from those folks. So, you know, we keep it small. And, again, they do sell out.
And
But there are also lots of different choices for people. I mean, there are over 100 different events that you're doing.
There
at
are.
Well, and you have both seminars, which I think are, certainly if you're in the industry, to go and attend one of these seminars is really a way to stay on the cutting edge of what's happening and to have some hands-on experience and some experience with some of the great masters. And you also have competitions take a big part of this thing, right?
We do. Again, there really is something for everybody. One of my favorite competitions this year is called On the Fly, and this is not your typical bar chef competition, because our competitors, of which David Wandrich is one, have only what is in a special, like, VIP bag that we put together for them at the competition. So it's really, you know, a stretch of somebody's talent. You have time constraints and you have ingredient constraints. So instead of the typical where you might have, you know, 200 spirits available and every fruit and juice that you've ever thought of, you're really, you know, limited here, so it really tests your ability.
Well, now, do they not know what's going to be in that spirits bag before they get it?
Right, they do not know. So, I mean, you might have Tabasco, lemon, olives, Grand Marnier, Navan, like interesting, you know, combination of all kinds of things.
Huh.
I'm going to say keep the olives and the lemon apart.
I know, they should. But, you know, you never know what these guys come up with. They are so creative. It is amazing when you see them work.
Well, it's true. And now, can people stay at your website? You'll give people permission on where to stay in New Orleans as well?
Yes, and it's such a great value. We have our hotel partners on our website, and to give you an idea, we have rates as low as $89 a night. Really, on the high end, it's about $129, which, I mean, $89, you know, by New York standards, these are nice hotel properties, but it's a great time to come to New Orleans. Our events are very reasonable. We have a lot of complimentary events. You can go to all of our tasting rooms, complimentary.
And you definitely want to be in walking distance to the cocktail events. That's,
yes,
that's,
you do. And all of our partner hotels are within walking distance. I mean, you do not need a car the whole week. So, you know, there's really just a lot of, you know, great reasons for you to come on down here.
Well, and our producer has told us that we're going to be staying in your living room, which is really sweet, Ann. Thank you very much.
I wanted you guys to really come, so I said I will open up my house if I can get the restaurant guys down here finally.
Well, and I only want to say one thing. Yeah. New Orleans in July. I hope that some of these venues are going to be heavily air-conditioned because I am not built for summer months.
That's okay. It's really fine. First of all, we are all air-conditioned here, although we do like to wear seersucker, but it's really fine. You'll get along just fine.
I've never seen a guy Mark's size in a seersucker suit, to be honest with you. I may buy him one just in order to be able to do that.
You should. You definitely need to get the seersucker, the fedora, start working on the look. So even Tony Albuganen last year had on seersucker.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. If you would like the chance to maybe see Mark Pascal wearing seersucker, cast a couple of shows from down at
the Or if you know a tailor who will make one my size, that would help too.
And see you down in New Orleans, Ann. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about your wonderful event.
Well, thank you very much. I cannot wait to meet you all in person and really appreciate all the support from, you know, past years. We have a lot of great New Yorkers that attend, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of those are listeners of yours.
Well, we'll all be down in New Orleans together in July. You can go to talesofthecocktail.com or link to it through our site, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTC-AM and restaurantguysradio.com. You know, if you're looking for a perfect restaurant or a home-cooked meal in the Garden State, look no further than Dining Out Magazine, New Jersey. Dining Out's the premier dining guide for northern and central Jersey. It provides the right information to help you make your dining decisions. Whether you're looking for a romantic dinner, a power lunch, entertaining a large group, finding the perfect caterer, or just a night out on the town, Dining Out provides a sample menu, beautiful pictures and reviews, and over 100 of the best restaurants in the state are included. Of course, Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left among them. Dining Out Magazine and DiningOut.com are the go-to dining resource for the Garden State. Aside from comprehensive restaurant listings section, you'll also find in every issue recipes from your favorite chefs, profiles, interviews, and features on dining trends, both in the state and around the country. The latest edition explores the hidden treasures of rural Italy, the finest Italian foods made only by hand, a do-it-yourself journal of wine, beer, and cheese, and unique cocktails from seasoned bartenders throughout the Garden State. Not to mention a list of upcoming events, classes, and charity events hand-picked by Dining Out's senior editors. You can pick up your copy today at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Whole Foods, or visit them at www.diningout.com to view all the restaurants listed and join their subscription list. Dining Out is the ultimate must-have resource to feed the inner foodie in you. That's at diningout.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, and we are talking now with Jim Weaver. Jim is an old and dear friend. His restaurant is Tre Piani, just north of Princeton here in New Jersey, and he's also the head of Central New Jersey's Slow Food. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We have a million things to talk about, and we talk all the time, but we asked you to come on the show to talk about the Slow Food event that we have coming up.
Right. June 27th and 28th.
What's going on with that?
It is the East Coast Food and Wine Festival, and put on by Slow Food Central New Jersey, but we're also reaching out to Slow Food chapters up and down the East Coast, so there should be representation from lots of different chapters as well. So it's a great two-day event, and we've got incredible restaurants, including, you know, your guys' restaurants, Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi. We've got about six or seven restaurants altogether from Central New Jersey, all kinds of great food. We've got five best wineries in New Jersey bringing their best estate-grown wines. We've got a farmer's market. We've got, of course, live music, tours of the vineyard. And then we've also got two very large educational tents, which we're doing cooking demonstrations and seminars and tastings and all kinds of stuff under all day long on both days. A lot of really great people involved with this particular event, so we're pretty psyched.
Now, talk to us about Slow Food in New Jersey. Now, I know that we've worked a lot together on a couple of projects over the many years that we've known each other. I don't think that Slow Food here in New Jersey gets the recognition that maybe it should. You do a lot of hard work out here, but sometimes we're in the shadow of New York and the larger cities that surround us. What is Slow Food doing in New Jersey?
Well, I mean, Slow Food Central New Jersey was actually one of the first chapters in the United States, and our group grew very quickly into a very large number of people, and since then, several other New Jersey chapters have opened up. So in 11 years that Slow Food Central New Jersey has been in existence. But, you know, our mission is the same as it is internationally, you know, preserve, promote, protect local foods, and local food traditions. We're looking out for people like yourselves that are really pushing the local farms and buying products locally and trying to do the right thing. So,
Well, here in New Jersey, I think that has even more relevance than it may have in other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
where real estate values are so high that practically any farmer in the entire state could sell their property to a developer and make more money on it than they could by farming it. So in preserving and protecting those vineyards and that farmland and encouraging the Garden State to continue being just that, the Garden State, I think that there's a greater effort that needs to be put into keeping these farmers farming.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it's very difficult to support especially any large-scale farm in New Jersey. But you guys probably know as well, I mean, there's actually a lot more smaller producers, organic producers of everything from eggs or cheese or meats or produce or seafood or what have you that are all trying more to distribute on a local level than ever before. I mean, even in the resurgence of the success of farmers markets have grown by leaps and bounds over the years. And so there's markets for it. And that's what Slow Food tries to do, identify a lot of those products and reopen niche markets and introduce them into those markets. So, and therefore help them try to make them successful. And a lot of those folks will be represented at the farmers market at the event.
You know, we started working together 12, 15 years ago on projects like this, and it's amazing to see how the landscape has changed. And, you know, New Jersey, for those who are listening from far away, is a unique – New Jersey is the wealthiest state per capita, and it's the most populous state. And the southern half of the state is farmland, which means the northern part of the state is just the most crowded part of the country by half again what anything else is. And – that provides some unique opportunities, and we are very food-centric here in New Jersey. We have a lot of different ethnic populations, and we're very concerned about our food. That's a stereotype of the area. And it's proven to be a really fertile breeding ground for a lot of experiments on how to grow food and get them to local people. And because we don't have hundreds of miles to travel, I'm seeing a lot of ways that the farmers are able to get their product directly into the hands of consumers or into restaurants and bypass that distribution network, which is so often the network that kills any small product because they need everything to be uniform and the same, and uniform and the same always means...
Right, or the product can't survive the time lag between getting it through a middleman.
Well, and uniform and the same always means mediocre. It can never be uniform and the same and the best. It's like Lake Wobegon where all the children are above average. It's just, you know, it can't happen.
Mm-hmm. So, New Jersey, being in the Garden State, it got its name as the Garden State because it really historically was the breadbasket for Philadelphia and New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the food distribution that you speak of, the system for that was set up many, many years ago to efficiently, quickly get our product out of state. And
right.
That's one of the reasons I got involved with Slow Food, because I found it very frustrating as a chef that I couldn't buy from my own local farm.
That you were driving to Union Square Market in order to get product from farmers in your Jersey restaurant.
Or it would just end up, go to auction, become anonymous produce, shipped up to Hunts Point, go through three different middlemen, only to be shipped back to me at twice the price and half the quality.
And half the quality was because the farmer who was participating in that distribution network had to pick the tomato before it was ripe so it could survive that week waiting to get to Jim.
Right.
Whereas now we buy local stuff. You know, it's funny. I remember walking into supermarkets in Jersey and even high-end markets in Jersey back 10, 14 years ago, and it would be August, and we in Jersey are famous for Jersey corn and Jersey tomatoes. Jersey tomatoes are just stunning. And we'd be in the height of tomato season for Jersey tomatoes, and you would walk into your local market. There wouldn't be any Jersey tomatoes.
Right, it's California tomatoes.
Or Guatemalan tomatoes, and they'd be these pale, pasty white things. And you might have driven by a tomato farm that grows tomatoes on your way to the market. And that was the sorry state of things, and things have really changed now, even in supermarkets. And I think that's due in no small part to the efforts of Slow Food.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a part of it, but people are becoming more aware of what they eat, and they want to eat nutritious things. I mean, it's a person's God-given right to enjoy a meal, that's what it's about.
So, Jim, tell us some more about this festival. Besides being able to get great food cooked for you right by some great restaurants like Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left and Brothers Moon and some other places that are going to be participating there, what are going to be the highlights of the events, you think?
Well, I think obviously the wine and the food are the big things for this event, but I think last year was the first year we did it. This year we're growing it much bigger, and from experience, we can say that, you know, the educational seminars and cooking demonstrations were a big hit. And so we've really expanded that, and we've got people like Mike Colomeco from Colomeco's Food Show is going to be doing a demonstration on Saturday, and George Tabor, who wrote Judgment in Paris, which just was turned into a movie, is going to be there. Maureen Petrowski, who's the wine expert for one of the New York networks. In my head, I can't recall the woman, but is going to be doing something. And we've got all kinds of, I mean, there's like 6 or 8 or 10 demos and things every day.
Well, and so people can come up and have a little education, eat a little bit of great food, connect with some New Jersey wineries, and also connect with your local farmers who are going to be there for the farmers market, and they'll be able to tell you when they're at a farmers market near your neighborhood.
And they'll be selling things like cheese, fed beef, and heirloom pork, and honey, and all sorts of different herbs and produce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jim, how do people find, where is this located? This is in, how do
people
get there?
Hopewell Valley Vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
On Yard Road, just off of Route 31, and it's actually technically Pennington, I guess. And we have a website. It's slowfoodandwinefestival.com.
And you can buy tickets in advance?
You can buy tickets. Yeah.
And it's pretty accessible from New York City or from Philadelphia, and we're going to be there. Jim's going to be there. A lot of local farmers are going to be there. So if you want to spend a day, come out and spend it with us. Hopefully we'll have good weather, and it's good work you do there. Jim, we're looking forward to seeing you at the festival.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to working with you guys once again.
Jim Weaver is the head of Central New Jersey's chapter for Slow Food, and he's also executive chef of his Tre Piani restaurant in Princeton. And you can find out more about him festival on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys on WCTC AM and restaurantguysradio.com. I would like to announce the most exciting new project Mark and I have launched in years. We've teamed up with some old friends, Mike and Jennifer Schnurr, and worked with our chefs and purveyors of artisanal food products to create restaurantguyschocolate.com. Yeah, baby, we've created a line of extraordinary and delicious chocolates in a palette of thoughtful and complex flavors. They're sexy, they come in a great, beautiful red box, they're handmade, and they make a perfect gift or a perfect personal indulgence. We ship overnight, or you can pick them up at the restaurants. The website is restaurantguyschocolate.com, or find the link at restaurantguysradio.com. We put our heart and soul into every box, and each one's made by hand. There's a little bit of my soul in every piece of candy, that's right, and a little bit of Mark's too. So check out restaurantguyschocolate.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis.
Well, there you have a couple of cool events that Francis and I are going to be at this summer. We're going to be at June 27th and 28th. We will be at the Slow Food Festival in Pennington, New Jersey, and July 8th through the 12th down in New Orleans at the Tales of the Cocktail. So a fun summer for us. We've got a couple of cool offsite gigs that we're doing.
I do want to see you in a seersucker.
I'm thinking
big blue striped guy walking.
I want you to think more of a Tony Soprano look and less of a seersucker look. Okay.
I was thinking Carol O'Connor played the. I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
I'm thinking. You know.
I think that'd be striking. All right. Well, you know, I'm going to stop. I may wear a seersucker suit and probably no fedora, but
safe to say you may see me in a fedora in a Tony Soprano outfit, which I like to juxtapose those things next to one.
Well, if you can make it down to New Orleans even for just a couple of days, it really is all the rage. It's talked about by cocktailians all around the world, and
literally every single cocktail person that I've spoken to will be at Tales this year.
Yeah, including us finally.
Including us finally. Well,
we had a lot of things keep us from getting there in the past, but we're
finally there.
Well, we hope to see you there. Thanks for listening to the hour. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. This is Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, WCTC AM and restaurantguysradio.com.